Sweat the Technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Alex Bregman. What are the chances he's an Astro next year? 713-780-ESPN. I saw his two-year-old son's name Knox.
I think that's right.
Posted on Instagram him hitting tanks off of him at the age of two. He's a lefty, by the way. Maybe we can do a little Bregman lifetime contract. Alex for a few years, and then Knox. Guaranteed to draft him. All right, what are your what are the odds? Blankers, Graffs, Brian Graffs. The odds that Alex Bregman is a Houston Astro next year.
60%.
60% chance he's back.
Yeah.
Okay.
That feels right. I was the 60% was the number in my head.
I'm surprised how optimistic y'all are.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear everything that's coming out of their camp.
I guess it depends on what you think of the Alex Bregman market. I know I heard Gallant and George. No, I'm sorry. I heard Dell talking about how the Bregman camp wants the Machado contract, which is just lunacy. No one's ever going to approach the Machado contract of Bregman. I don't see how he gets over 200 mil.
No.
Which then, and I wouldn't want the Astros to go up to 200 mil, but if he's under 200 mil, that brings the Astros into the conversation. And I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that they're going to listen to Altuve, they're going to listen to the heartstrings and bring him back.
I don't think Crane's going to be held over the barrel by Jose Altuve. I don't think that carries a ton of weight. I think that Crane's going to say the right things. He's like, we're going to try, and we owe it out of respect to Altuve to give it the old call a try. And Crane even addressed it at the press conference for the new ballpark, the Dyke. He was asked about, you know, the Altuve, you know, the Bregman deal. And he's like, well, we told him we're going to give it, you know, our best effort. Like, if it comes short, it comes short.
It just seems, look, as much as when we've talked about the guys in the past, it just seems like they're more adamant and passionate about the fact that they're doing, and maybe it's because of the legacy that Alex Bregman has set here to where they want it to look like they put more effort into this one than maybe any of the other ones that have come previously up, but that they're still going to, at the end of the day, do what they've done in every other case and walk away. But just all of Dana's comments when he does diarrhea of the mouth stuff, and he does interviews nationally especially, it just feels like they're really going to be more focused than on the other guys of trying to get a deal done. But there's no doubt in my mind, if they cross the threshold money-wise or year-wise, that they will just decide to go turn the page, go to plan B, and say, tip the cap, thanks for the memory.
So, I'm not far off from y'all. I'm at 55% he stays. Because I don't think that the market for Bregman is going to be outrageous. I think the Matt Chapman contract is the minimum, 6 years, 151. I think he could get up to like 180, 185, somewhere around there. And I do feel like Crane has the desire to pay Bregman because of the memories. And also, look, Bregman took it on the chin for you in the sign-stealing thing. Here were the two players that were outside of the clubhouse addressing the media. It was Altuve, who Crane has been loyal to, although Crane has taken team-friendly contracts. So that's probably more to do with it than, you know, being the face of the whole sign-stealing stuff. But and also the fact that you don't have like this ready-made third baseman that's right, you know, behind Alex Bregman, ready to come up right away. Like Jeremy Peña was probably closer than anything you have at third base now. So I think that also adds to a little bit of Alex Bregman leverage. So I'm at 55% Alex Bregman returns. Here are the odds, latest Vegas odds, just a random Google search. They had the Astros as the betting favorite at plus 375. That puts them at a 21% chance, stacking up to the competition. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are plus 400 odds. I don't see him ending up with the Yankees.
I do.
I don't see it.
If they lose Soto, they are going to go into complete quick recon mode to try and do something else that's going to...
Pete Alonso.
I think it's a combo platter. I think... Look, money's no object to that.
That's not true, though. That's an old antiquated take. Brian Cashman has been pretty conservative when it comes to huge big-time spending for not top-tier free agents. Like, what have been their huge free agent moves recently? Like, they re-signed Aaron Judge, which is not really a free agent acquisition. That's re-signing your own. Their biggest one's been Garrett Cole, and he was the top pitcher in the game whenever he was out there.
The trade,
I don't remember how
much
Rodon cost, but they added him, obviously.
But that was a short-term deal.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what his contract was, but he was a decent name.
They've been fiscally responsible in the last 10 years.
To your point, the fact that they let Garrett Cole, opt out of his contract and then played hardball enough to say, we're not going to give you the extra $36 million you could get. That lends itself to what you're saying. But
they're
still
not the old Steinbrenner Yankees.
But no, but he still gave up a ton to get Soto, knowing that you're going to have to pay him or let him walk, and the fact that his salary wasn't peanuts.
No, it wasn't that much, and it was only for 1 year.
But you took Stanton's contract on. That was $300-some million.
But that was a long time ago. That was probably within the last 10 years. But I'm talking about like recent memory. The Yankees have not been this like old school George Steinbrenner sign every stinking free agent that becomes available. They've been way more fiscally responsible from the reputation that they've earned a long time ago. The Dodgers are way more willy-nilly than the Yankees are.
But I think that now you know that, look, the Mets are trying to play ball. They're going to be spending
another
money all over the place.
The
yeah,
Yankees.
They're going to be throwing money all over the place. But I think that if you lose Soto, especially a team that got to the World Series, the expectation, and you can hear it in Cashman's voice about, you know, whether he's blaming the Astros or how, you know, important it is that this team has to do those kind of things. In order to do that, I think that if Soto walks out the door, everybody's going to be staring at him going, how are you replacing him? What are you going to do? And I think the combination of Alonso and Bregman would be top on their list to try and, you know, two for the price of one, try and, you know, get them back where they need to go.
All right, you're closer to likely on that one than I am. I actually think they should let Soto go. I don't think he's going to be worth that contract. I don't think anybody is.
I don't think anybody.
But also think they need to move to Aaron Judge back to right field. Like, he can't be your center fielder. Seattle, plus 425, third favorite to land Bregman. Likelihood of that?
They're going to try. I don't know that he wants to play there. I would say 25%.
Yeah, I don't think it's very high with them either. They're not, like, they don't spend tons of money.
They're fake tough when it comes to spending money. They want you to believe that they're all aggressive. But then remember, even when the 1 year when they made all the acquisitions and trades and the Robbie Rays and all those guys, and then they just quietly just started peeling them off the books, dumping away for nothing, trying to get out of what they had done previously. I think they want their fan base to believe that they're playing hardball to try and get, but their fan base even knows this is not what we need if we're the Mariners, because they're not going to go for it.
Detroit.
I don't think so. I think Detroit learned a lesson when they went and signed Javi Baez and it completely petered out. No. I don't think that Bregman's the right fit for that franchise. See, I'd say 10%.
Baez hurts the chances of it. I'm with you on that. But the A.J. Hinch factor, I think, increases the chances of it. And it's also a young team that could use that veteran leadership and somebody who's been in the postseason.
Could see
Tigers,
it.
Tigers make some sense for me. Toronto.
No, they're another team that they 1 minute they're spending frivolously, and then the next minute they're pulling the plug out of it. I can't see it.
I actually think they're about to go into a rebuild. Vlad Guerrero and Bichette are in the final year of their deal, and it's like, if they're going to spend money, I think they try to lock up one of those guys. I personally think they're not going to lock up either, and I think that they're going to go into a complete rebuild. Boston.
I could see that. I could see that.
Playing
because
second?
Boston, it doesn't matter where he's playing. Well, Boston is not willing to.
I mean, it does, because Devers isn't moving.
Unless he moves to first. Which he's
Unless
not a
Devers
great defensive
first,
third baseman.
But there was conversations him going to first, and regardless, and it depends on what was their last big spend, from Colorado Story. Yeah, I mean, Boston's looking to get back into being a big-time player. They're going to spend a boatload of money. It makes a lot of sense to say that Bregman's the kind of guy that would fit with that team, with them spending money.
I haven't seen enough of their new general manager to know how he wants to spend the money, because I've heard that they want to spend two, but do they want to spend on a third baseman who's in his 30s that's in his decline? I want to see how they use their resources. Chaim Bloom would have never done it. The Mets.
They'll look at him, but their eye is on a bigger prize. They
if
want
Alonso
Soto.
Leaves?
If Alonso leaves, well, first of all, I think if they get Soto, Alonso is gone. But I think that they want Soto big time, and they know that it's a double positive for them no matter how much money you spend, because he comes back to the National League and gives you a big boost offensively, and you screw the Yankees over across town. That's their number one priority, but I could see them looking at Bregman.
I guess you can't ever rule them out with the way that they spend, but I also feel like they big game hunt, and I'm not sure it's a big enough name for the New York Mets.
I'm saying. They're starting with Soto, and they're starting at the top of the pitching market to where they're going to try and add a massive name and a number from an offensive perspective in at least one pitcher, if not two. But if you get down to it, Boston and the Mets are the two teams most likely to throw somewhat the money he's looking for, maybe not the years, to try and get a guy like Alex Bregman.
Last one, the Nets.
Everybody says they're going to be throwing money around too, and they're going to try and really reestablish themselves. I don't see him. They got a really young nucleus. I don't see him. Maybe you're right to the point of the Detroit situation where he provides leadership. I think they're looking for a bigger name. I think they're looking to kind of give validity to what they're trying to do to be back on the radar, and they're looking for a bigger name than Alex Bregman. Yeah, supposedly they're in the Soto market. to bring him back.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah, it would.
See, Washington makes sense to me because they have lots of money to spend. They have a very young team that could use veteran leadership. They're not bad. Like, they won more games than anybody expected them to win. And it depends on what Bregman wants, too. If Bregman doesn't have to have, like, immediate winning and he's just going to the highest bidder, I think the Nationals would be in play.
Yeah, from a sure, just simply from another team that's willing to throw silly money at you, maybe that's the case. Because I've read multiple different articles where they said the Nationals are going to be willing to spend with pitching and bats, and they're trying to get veterans on this team quickly. I just don't see it. I think that he wants to be at a place where he gets best of both worlds. He gets money and he continues to win now.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jose, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Jose?
Yeah, I was just wondering what you guys think of if we don't get Bregman back, would we, you know, I'd like to try to get Arenado. I know he's got 3 years and $74 million. Maybe you get, you know, take 3 years, $60 million, have the Cardinals eat the rest. What you guys think about him coming over? Because he's still got a great glove and still swings the bat well.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just think for that many years at his age, that's not what they're trying to sign up for. I feel like he's diminished offensively. I think he's diminished as good as he is defensively. And I think you've been through this where they're a little scorned by what happened with the Abreu signing. I think if you got to trade for him too and give up to take another flyer on a guy like that and with the price tag, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he's gone backwards. He's going to be 34 years old next year. He still makes a good amount of money. Arenado would not be a name that I'm interested in. You just go last 3 years, OPS plus, where the average is 100. 2022, 151. Heck of a player. 2023, 108. Last year, 101. And dudes in their mid-30s don't all of a sudden get better. So he has regressed a lot in the last 3 years. Even if he played to what he played to last year, not worth the money that he's currently
making. This is why you got to be leery of Breggy. He's a little younger, but we've already seen we've seen this happening year after year with Bregman.
See, I think Arenado's career plight is very similar to Alex Bregman's career plight. Like, I would point to Nolan Arenado as a reason I don't want to give Alex Bregman stupid money. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A lot of C.J. Stroud conversation in the sense of where does he stack up amongst other quarterbacks in the NFL. How many quarterbacks, if you're trying to win a game this year, you're trying to win a game tomorrow, not in the future, not what they're going to mean in 3 years, not the next 2 to 7 seasons, you're trying to win a football game tomorrow. How many quarterbacks are you putting ahead of C.J. Stroud? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, a word from our good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. I had it done. You can see it today if you're on Twitch and YouTube. Phenomenal results. Got my own hair back where I needed it most, my hairline in front. He did fantastic work. He didn't lie to me. Everything that he told me in the consultation is true. It's my own hair. It's going to be the same color, grow the same direction. It's going to fill out. It's going to do all the things that I did not believe was possible, and it's all because of Doc and his consultation and the NeoGraft procedure along with PRP treatments. You can do the same. You listening to me wanting to talk to him, you get a free consultation like I had. It doesn't cost you $150 like people off the street. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, sign up for a free consultation. You get that chance to sit down with Doc and his staff. You can ask questions, get answers. They'll explain everything to you about NeoGraft and PRP treatments. And then you can make a decision to see if you want to kind of follow through with it or you want to put it on hold. But there's no commitment, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket, just a question and answer session so that you're familiar with what he can do and how he can help. He helped me. He helped Granado. He's helped so many more. You could be next in line. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com right now, sign up for that free consultation and see if it might be right for you. I could not be happier with what he's done for me. And the secret kind of Cliff Notes version is, 95 to 99% of the follicles he's going to move and put where you need it are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul because he takes them from an area where they're never going away. You never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, so he takes some of it, repurposes it, puts it where you need it, and it grows and it stays and it looks fantastic. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is the Beast, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN. How many quarterbacks, if you're trying to win a game today, we're not talking future, we're not talking about career trajectory, we're not talking about salary cap, none of that. We're just talking simply trying to win a football game tomorrow. Everything else is equal. All 32 teams in the NFL are the same, except the quarterback position. Where would you stack up C.J. Stroud amongst the rest of the NFL? And we can go through it here.
Okay.
We can go through the teams and see where we all land on this. Just go division by division. Let's start in the AFC East. Buffalo Bills trying to win a game tomorrow. Are you going Josh Allen or are you going C.J. Stroud?
Allen.
Okay, unanimous, so that'll count as one. Are you going Tua, three-piece, Tagovailoa, or are you going with C.J. Stroud?
C.J.
Did you said C.J.?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we're all unanimous there, C.J. Aaron Rodgers.
C.J.
C.J. Drake Mayo.
I mean, C.J.
I know it's
C.J.
May.
Yeah.
Drake May's not bad.
No, it doesn't matter,
but
C.J.'s better.
I'm taking C.J.
I would take
day.
C.J. too, though, but I do think Drake May's got a chance to be pretty good.
That's a different conversation.
He might be the second best rookie quarterback right now.
Yeah, that's a separate conversation because he's got a lot of talent.
Russell Wilson.
C.J.
Okay, we're all unanimous. Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Unanimous again, we're at two. Joe Burrow, my best friend. We're BFFs.
He's all in elevator. Burrow.
We stared into each other's eyes. Yeah, Burrow pretty clearly. Burrow's playing at a very high level.
Yes.
He's been really stinking good. Famous Jameis Winston.
C.J.
Now, if you need a mountain visit, Jameis Winston might be your guy.
Yeah.
What a leader.
See the videos of him greeting his Saints teammates from the last week? Like, yeah. They all still love him.
After the game. It was like a receiving line at a wedding.
I really want Jameis Winston.
Yeah, like Joel said, it's like a receiving line at a wedding. Like, mm-hmm. There are all the Saints players just lined up to come hug him and shake his hand.
We need to bring him to Houston. He needs to be the next backup quarterback for the Houston Texans. Once Davis Mills is gone after next season, Jameis Winston,
a lot worse.
QB2, and then draft like a quarterback in the sixth round that you develop. That's what I want my quarterback room to look like in 3 years. All right, so no on Jameis. Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco?
No.
C.J.
Okay, Will Levis?
No.
C.J.
You sure?
Yeah. Milk, mayo,
100%?
Whatever, coffee.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, obviously C.J. Stroud. Mac Jones.
C.J.
Would your mind change if it was Trevor Lawrence?
I was expecting for you to say Trevor Lawrence, but it's the same answer either way.
No.
Okay, so we're still on that. We're still three quarterbacks going through the AFC first. Pat Mahomes.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes.
There's no doubt. I mean, Super Bowl winning quarterback, all that.
Easy.
Here's a tricky one. Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
Okay. I don't even need a vote. I would have said Herbert, too, for the record. So that's five. We're not through the AFC yet. How about Bo Nix, who's playing at an extremely high level?
C.J.
Yeah, I'd go C.J., too. And then Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, whatever's happening. They should just bring Tom Brady out of retirement. Okay, so five in the AFC that we have ahead of C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. which is a big number.
It's more than we had when we did this exercise at the beginning of the year.
Jalen Hurts.
I'm still not sold.
How many games do you need to win?
This is a tough one because that offense is really, really good. You got Saquon, you got AJ and Devontae, you got Goddard, you got Kellen Moore, who's a good offensive coordinator. Like, that's a good offense.
He's been with three different offensive coordinators at this point? Like, this is not like a one-trick guy.
Well, he wasn't very good last year with Brian Johnson.
CJ's a better thrower of the football.
This one's tough.
This year, I don't know.
Because if we're going, everything else is the same. Like, we're not getting the benefit of being with a better offense coordinator. We're not giving the benefit of being with a better offense. If we're putting them on the exact same football team, who gives you a better chance to win, Jalen Hurts or C.J. Stroud?
C.J. Stroud.
This is a tough one.
I would say Hurts this year. Because of the
last year, he was terrible.
I'm sorry?
Well, last year, Hurts was not great.
He wasn't terrible. You said terrible.
But
he was not terrible.
It was a slip from where he was two years ago.
He definitely wasn't even close to what he was the year before. And I think that if you put C.J. on the Eagles, I think he'd flourish with that line and all the weapons that Jeremy mentioned.
Yeah, probably the second best line in football.
I think if you put Hurts in Houston, I don't know if he would even be able to have done what
they've
done.
Let's give this one a half. We'll give this one a half because I'm kind of torn on it myself. And I'm going to sit on the fence. So go 5.5 there. How about Daniels in Washington?
No.
C.J.
I'm probably going to give Stroud just because he's played a little bit longer. He's played in a playoff game. Now, Daniels could surpass him, though.
Daniels is a better runner, and I just think right now CJ's a better passer. That could change with Daniels. He continues to show what he's doing.
Lap dance Lance. Cooper Rush. Dak Prescott.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
C.J. for all of them.
Danny DeVito.
C.J.
Daniel Jones.
CJ.
Drew Lock.
CJ okay, for all of them.
Jared Goff.
Goff.
Yeah.
I think you got to go Goff.
You have to. I hate doing it, but
I would have said it preseason, but this year Goff's played better.
Yep. Sam Darnold.
CJ.
Yeah. Jordan Love.
CJ.
Wow, that was jinx. Really?
Did you expect me, of all people?
He's been a turnover machine.
Has CJ Stroud outplayed Love?
I think he has.
CJ's thrown some bad balls, but he doesn't make the decisions and throw the bad footballs into traffic the way that Jordan Love does on a consistent
basis. Jordan Love is a turnover machine, is putting it lightly. He's got a top two or three interception percentage in the league right now.
I would give a slight lean to Stroud there, although I think it's close. Caleb Williams, no. Kirk Cousins.
CJ.
Okay. Baker Mayfield.
CJ.
Baker's not bad.
Yeah,
I go CJ, but Baker's not bad.
I put that as kind of a side eye, but I'll still go CJ.
David Carr's brother, Derek.
CJ.
Okay. Andy Dalton or Bryce Young.
CJ.
Kyler Murray.
CJ.
I'm going Kyler.
He's so up. See, like, his highs have been higher than CJ this year, but he's so up and down. Like the inconsistency that you worry about with CJ is still there with Kyler.
He's a better runner of the football, and he can throw the long ball and do something. I just don't believe in him, like, throwing the football consistently. I like CJ better as a passer of the football.
You want to go half there or none at all?
I go half.
All right, so it gives us two halves. Don't forget that Kyler Murray is the greatest active athlete that exists on planet Earth.
How could we do that?
Matthew Stafford.
CJ.
See, I think that's kind of close, too.
Stafford's had some big up and downs this year.
Yeah,
also.
But he's still damn good.
Yeah.
One game tomorrow.
And he's had receivers out. I think Stafford.
Okay, we'll give that one a half. I would probably lean Stroud, but I'm not mad at you for picking Stafford. I can totally understand it. Geno Smith.
CJ.
Okay, and then Brock Purdy, the last place team in the NFC West.
CJ.
Okay, so you have 7.5 quarterbacks. 7.5 quarterbacks that you would take ahead of CJ, or we collectively would have. You top 10, but he's not top 5.
No.
Not top 7. No, he might not be in some people's top 8.
That's completely indicative of what's happened this year and the way that he's been slightly less than, the line has been slightly less than, and it's just been not what we expected.
Yeah. Like, we're looking at 7.5, 8 quarterbacks you would have ahead
of
CJ.
Yeah, when I did my own personal list, I had 7.
You had 7?
Yeah, that's right in line with what we did as a group.
Yeah, I had them 8, 9. Kind of, you know, on a couple of them. Like, I struggled a bit with Kyler. I struggled a bit with Jalen. I struggled a bit with Stafford. So, like, those kind of could go either way. But he's not in your top 7? He was 7 or 8?
Yeah, I had him at 8 in preseason when we did this exercise. I think I had him at 2.
Okay.
2 or 3? So it was really high.
So he's probably right now going to win a game tomorrow, not a top 7 quarterback in the NFL.
Right now.
Fair?
Fair.
Any objection here? Fair. Can we set that? The judge has ruled?
Yeah, I would not have him as a top 7 QB currently.
Okay. 6-3-3-3-3. Bo Nix over CJ for a game today, 100%. Y'all are whack for CJ over Nix. Says 512 area code. What is a 512? Is that Texas?
It's Austin.
Okay, so he's a Bo Nix fan in Austin. That's interesting. Huh. He thinks highly of Bo Nix. So we have him outside of the top 7. Is that unfair? Is it fair? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, film don't lie when we return. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what else don't lie? A goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the best basketball goal on the planet. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true, authentic feel. Breakaway rim, because you might want to lower the goal. Throw down some jams if you want to show off to the misses or your kids. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust proof. You got to have that in Houston as well. And height adjustable. Just mentioned that. 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. You want to throw down some jams. Show off. Show everybody you still got it a little bit. Lower it all the way down. You want to work on that jump shot and see how you stack up with the pros. We'll raise it up to 10 feet. See what you got. And their new goal 4, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, and it is fun to do. And of course, these goals from Pro Dunk, you're not going to find this type of stuff in the big box stores. Whenever you go to the big box stores, you're going to find cheap goals. They ain't any good. You see them in the neighborhood. They're busted up. They're on their belly. The rim's jacked up. The backboard sometimes is broken. If you're going to get a goal, you need to do it right and get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. You're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. It's great. Also, their accessories are next level. We understand it gets dark a little early now. LED light kits for night play. Backstop nets. You don't have to chase the basketball around and waste your time. Pull pad lettering. Add some customization to your goal and lots more. And maybe the best thing is that you can get them to professionally install your goal. You don't have to be intimidated or overwhelmed of this big box delivered to your driveway that has a million pieces and you have to assemble. Don't worry about it. The pros from Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You can't screw it up because they're going to do it for you. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 713-780-3776. Now, Texter, sad thing about it is you're ranking him with this offensive line. No, everything else is equal. We're talking about winning a game tomorrow. If you could somehow put him on those teams that you got the quarterback ranked higher and he's behind that offensive line, he might be a superstar. They might be defeated with CJ, talking about behind this offensive line. No, we're putting everybody on the same exact football team in this hypothetical world. All right, film do not lie. First thing, did you notice these changes on the defensive depth chart? Now, the first one might not be as much of a change. I think they might be platooning their linebackers. Devin White outsnapped Henry To'oTo'o by a good amount in Monday's game against the Cowboys.
I like what I've seen of Devin White, but I've loved what I've seen of To'oTo'o. I think that that surprises me a bit because he was all over the place when he was on the football field. He was impactful when he was playing to where I really didn't notice White the same way that I noticed To'oTo'o. And To'oTo'o and Petrie, and they were all over the place wreaking havoc to where that surprises me a bit.
Yeah, I think part of this, though, is because they're kind of platooning the two. Like, you're seeing Henry To'oTo'o more in situations where they're going to be running the ball a decent amount. Devin White is like the clear cut. If the other team's passing the ball, we're going to bring in Devin White. And they abandoned the running game, and they were throwing the ball a lot in the second half. And Devin White, they rather have him on the field whenever the other team's passing. So I think it's a split. I think you're kind of platooning. And the Texans actually played some 4-3 the other day, which they haven't done a lot this year. I think D'Amico would like to, but he doesn't love his third linebackers. So that's something to monitor. I think it's going to be kind of a 50-50 split, but because the Cowboys had to go into a passing attack, they rather have Devin White on the football field when the opposition is throwing the ball. The second one, you know who played every single snap as a safety for the first time all year? Who the clear-cut number one safety was for the Texans? Kalen Bullock. Bullock played every single defensive snap. Eric Murray and Jimmy Ward were a split. Ward had a little bit more than Murray, but kind of 50-50. They were trading off series. Whereas Kalen Bullock has graduated to the number one safety on this football team. And thank goodness, because I think he is the top safety on this team.
No, I agree with you. And you want him to be. And you want him to be for the long haul. So, you know, we were talking about a few weeks ago, surprised at the fact that he wasn't on the field more. I'm glad that he's on the field more than any other safety because he deserves to be. And he's a ball hawk, and he continues to get better with the more he's on the field.
All right, here are the other things that I noticed today in film Do Not Lie. The Dallas Cowboys defense has quit playing football. They have quit. There is not a team that I've seen all year that has quit as much as the Cowboys. Like D'Amico, he tries to get his team to swarm and play hard and fly to the football. The Dallas Cowboys, they have zero effort. This is like the laziest defense I've seen all year.
To piggyback on that, I was driving home and was listening to Texans radio.
How dare you?
With the General on, and all three guys notated how pregame, when most players are out on the field working up a sweat, getting stretched out, running drills, doing things to get ready for the football game, there were their biggest names, including Parsons and Lamb and a couple other guys, Diggs and other guys, that were sitting there talking to the people that were on the field, signing autographs, farting around, to where everybody kind of noticed, all three of them, that this isn't a team that's got the coaching staff's got control of right now.
Yeah, it's bad. Like if the Jones know football, which I don't know if they do, this coaching staff has to go. Like yep. The defense is giving absolutely no effort. They've quit, which means that they've quit on their coach. Like it's a no-brainer.
And it's not just the coach either, because Parsons was very outspoken about being in the camp of their DC Mike
Zimmer.
If you love Mike Zimmer, that's not the effort you should be showing pregame or in-game if you want to do something to save Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It's actually kind of sad. When did you hear McClain on? What day was that?
Last night.
Oh, so you weren't listening to...
Glenn was on, and I was splitting during commercials. I was flipping back and forth.
Oh, okay. Danielle Hunter, his motor does not stop. Like you can sit there and talk about his pressure rate, and it is very high, one of the highest pressure rates in the entire NFL. He had 2 sacks against the Cowboys. Could have been credited for a third because Cooper Rush fumbled the ball and had a dive on it. Danielle Hunter actually was the first one to touch him. He got credit for a tackle for a loss, but not a sack. I don't really know why. But he chases down plays that are well past him. Like he has every right to not be a dude who has the motor to chase down a running play of 25 yards. Yet multiple times this season, Danielle Hunter is chasing down a play from the backside. He has no quit. And I love it because he's got a body like mine, so I can really appreciate what Danielle Hunter brings to the table.
He is the reason why you don't look just at simply at sacks when you look at analyzing a defensive player, because he is like next gen. He's all over the place. If you want to look at pressures, if you want to look at just the disruptiveness of the eye test when you see him on film, and to your point, whether it's a running play or a passing play, that dude wreaks havoc all around the field, and he's phenomenally fun to watch. And that's why you're glad you have him. Yeah, everybody's like, well, he doesn't have the sacks he had a year ago. Okay, season's not over yet, but at the same time, just watch him, like, isolate on him for a game and watch how many different plays he impacts.
Yeah, I cannot wait to have Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, and Danico Autry at their best. Like, they haven't had that this year. I think that Will Anderson got hurt in the game that Autry came back. If not, it was the second game where Autry was back, and Autry was not good in his first game. But he's been really good now. So, healthy Will Anderson, healthy Danielle Hunter, informed Danico Autry can be very, very scary for opposing teams.
You think about it, because Autry came back for the Green Bay game. That's the one that he was, maybe his name was called once. Mm-hmm. And I don't Will Anderson got hurt in the which?
Well, he's missed 2 games, so you have to go back to 3 games, so the Jets game.
Okay.
So that was came back for the Green Packers. Bay. So I guess they have played a game together. They played 2 games together before he got hurt. So Colts game was the only game where they had a healthy Will Anderson, a healthy Danielle Hunter, and Danico Autry shaking off the rust.
If you just watch Autry last game too, he's right in there in that camp with Hunter, where you're right, it's scary. If all three of those guys are fairly healthy and on the field at the same time, good luck offense, because from the quarterback standpoint and even the running game, you are going to get hell-bent fury coming at you from every direction.
Yeah, he's all of those guys are good, really good. Jeff Okuda came into the game. They immediately picked on him. We talked about this yesterday, not just the Turpin touchdown, but also trying to get CeeDee Lamb to go up against him. And then Okuda did not play the rest of the game until that final series that was garbage time. Hopefully he never plays again. It wouldn't shock me if they actually cut him.
I was going to say, hope he's not on the roster anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Like, they might keep him as their fourth corner, but he needs to be their fourth corner. I mean, hopefully Lassiter's back. Then you have Holman, who's your third corner, which isn't great. Nope. And then your fourth corner is probably Okuda, but do they keep a fourth boundary corner? I think it's going to be on the roster bubble. Damian Pierce is a waste of a roster spot, too. Now, the problem here is you don't really have an upgrade. He does nothing in the run game. He's unplayable, I think, in the run game. And he's also dropping and kicking a kickoff. Yeah. Like, he was kicking it around. What does he add value to this team this year?
You're right. This is the conversation we were having about Sims before. When they put Sims in some pass formations, he actually looked like he could play a little bit. But at the same time, this is not the point in the season where we're looking at going, boy, we could sure use some more depth at running back, and we could sure use some more depth at corner. But if you're Nick Caserio, you should be trying to figure out if there's any way on God's green earth you could upgrade the depth at those two positions.
Yeah. And then the final one that I have is I thought this was one of Bobby Slowick's better game plans. You look at what they were doing in the passing game, quick. C.J. Stroud was not holding onto the ball. Like, we're giving all this praise to the offensive line for protecting Stroud and only giving up the 1 sack. Go look at the passing plays. They were getting the ball out of C.J. Stroud's hands quickly. Now, it does beg the question, why weren't you doing this in the first 10 games when C.J. Stroud was getting his head knocked off? Why did it take this long to do it? But you saw some adjustments with how Bobby Slowick was calling plays, trying to keep C.J. Stroud upright, and I thought it was for the better.
The only thing, Jeremy, that concerns me about that is that when you're practicing it all week and then in the game, maybe that's some of the reason why CJ got a little happy-feeted and made some bad throws, was because everything that they were doing offensively in the pass game was basically predicated on getting the ball out of his hands quickly.
It was.
So when the time when in his internal clock starts telling you this isn't quick anymore, he's expecting to get hit and he wasn't getting hit. But because he was expecting to get hit, he may have rushed some throws.
Yeah, they really didn't have any shot plays. Like, they had a few deep, like, passing plays, like the Nico Collins where you ran the post, like that one for a big game, but that was pretty quick. I guess the longest developing pass play in the game was the Tank Dell with the deep cross.
Well, he wanted the one to Woods too, but he expected the safety to be elsewhere and Woods stayed with him and he didn't ever end up throwing it.
I don't remember that play. Maybe because it didn't get completed. But the longest developing pass play that I remember was the Tank Dell crossing route, the deep cross.
Went all the way across field.
Went for a big play. But, I mean, that one still wasn't, like, holding on to the ball forever.
The one I'm talking about, Aikman even pointed out that he wanted Woods, and Woods was on a deep go, but the safety ended up at the last minute staying behind him on the other side of him.
Now that I think about it, I remember two shot plays. One of them, C.J. Stroud ran it. It was right after the fake punt that was not successful. He was looking for something deep, wasn't there, ran it. And then the second down play, same thing, was looking for something deep and then took the sack, which was the only sack given up the entire game. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 11 weeks are in the books in the NFL season. What are your hot takes after week 11? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, a minute for Stella Rosa Wines. Stella Rosa Wines are so refreshing. They're served chilled, and you can serve them with just about anything you're putting out there from a food perspective. What I like to tell everybody is when you're getting people together to watch some sports, have a bunch of people over to the house, you like to serve beer, you like to serve hard liquor, but give everybody an extra alternative to choose from a drink perspective, because it's got just the right amount of alcohol, not too little, not too much, so that you don't have to pace yourself. It'll pace for you. And the fact that it's all natural fruit flavors and a little bit of spice with a lot of different flavor profiles that can go with anything you're serving. From hors d'oeuvres and appetizers to full-blown meals, Stella Rosa has a wine or two that will go with what you're serving and will make you look like a hero, not just the host. Check them out because they're available at all your local retailers as well as your liquor stores. So you can get them involved in whatever you're serving, and you are going to be looked at as the hero of the party because they taste great. They go with everything you're serving. And they're refreshing because they're all served chilled. Check them out at your local retailer. Check them out at your local liquor store. And make sure you remember that I told you to go get them, because you are going to get a favorable review no matter how your team does do on that given night and the viewing parties and everything else. Or if you're going to a viewing party to check out somebody else's house to watch some games, bring over a couple of bottles. They're easy to get to, and they're going to be a hit at your party as well. We always tell you to get some Stella Rosa wines and get them at your local retailer. And I always tell you to please celebrate responsibly.
This is ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we're 11 weeks through the NFL season. What are your hot takes after week 11? 713-780-3776. What you got, Blank?
Say that again?
What are your hot takes after week 11 of the NFL season?
Oh, I think that the Detroit Lions are back. I think that from the standpoint of everybody watching the Lions and
where do they go?
Well, but I think after the Texans game, people were starting to question Jared Goff. And Jared Goff jumped right back where he left off. And he had a bad one. All quarterbacks have those games. Now, not all quarterbacks throw five picks. But at the same time, Jared Goff was unbelievable. Their offense, we talk about teams at this point, and Jeremy even said it. Are you saying that, you know, you're looking for a complete team at this time of the year? That's tough to do. Detroit Lions, aside from losing Aiden Hutchinson, and we'll see how Smith fills in for him, Detroit Lions are about as complete a team as there are in this league.
Yeah, Goff left the MVP race for a little bit, according to some, and then he was all of a sudden right back on it as he went absolutely nuts.
In part because they're willing to run up the score. I don't know how much you guys follow this game late, and we saw this in their game against the Cowboys as well a few weeks ago. But they're willing to keep throwing the ball and keep throwing the ball for touchdowns late into the fourth. Dan Campbell does not care about your feelings. He runs up the score.
Who was the other dude that the other team they blew out?
They blew out Dallas.
They put 52 on the Titans.
There was one where they were throwing touchdowns up like 50.
They threw it to the offensive line.
It was the Cowboys.
Yeah, so they threw it to the offensive line.
Yeah, it was the Cowboys. They got Amon Ra, a touchdown super, super late. Yeah, they're willing to run it up on this. It's interesting. They just don't care. I kind of like that attitude, though.
I do, too.
We're going to step on your throat.
They're not going to worry about your feelings. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that everybody gets theirs and that they set a standard, and they're doing that.
Yeah, this is not Texas playing UTEP. You're all professionals. They're gonna keep playing until the final whistle goes.
I have an admission. I have an admission to make. The Pittsburgh Steelers are better than I thought. Ooh. I thought the Steelers were going to have trouble being above 500. I thought that this is a very, very high possibility that Mike Tomlin was going to have his first losing season in the history of his head coaching career. I could not have been more wrong. I sold that defense short. I sold the offense short. I sold Mike Tomlin short. I apologize,
sold
Mike
Chris
Tomlin.
Boswell short.
I will never do it. I didn't sell him short. He's a Rice Owl. I have a lot of respect for him. I will never make that mistake again. The Pittsburgh Steelers are way better than I ever thought they would be, and I apologize to Yins. I apologize to Mike Tomlin. I apologize to all of you in the Steel City.
Yeah, I didn't have this team winning more than 8 or 9 games. I didn't have this team having quarterback play the way they've had all season long with both guys, because I didn't believe in either guy. It's been impressive what they've been able to do. I'm right there with you. I thought that they were going to be 500-ish at best. It looks like they're a lot better than that.
We got to throw in one more name on the apology list. Our loyal listener, Tamara, who always hits us up on social media. Yeah. She always loves it when we talk Steelers. So apologies to her as well.
Apologies to Russell Wilson?
For sure.
Yeah, People were criticizing Tomlin. They were criticizing Tomlin for going to Russell Wilson.
What did he say? He was going rogue or going solo all by himself, Han Solo, that everybody else was saying stay with a 4-2 team and don't make any changes. And he said, no, I'm going to Russ. I believe in Russ. Russ hasn't let him down. Some of Russ can still throw the deep ball pretty accurately.
Yeah, he didn't play particularly well last week. Obviously, they scored no offensive touchdowns, but he's been really good. I mean, and I agree with what you said, Jeremy, though. I think the interesting thing, even though we all agree that, even though we're going to keep telling ourselves it's Mike Tomlin, it's the defense, we should believe in him. When it gets to the playoffs and they're playing the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bills, none of us are going to pick the Steelers.
No, but they just beat Baltimore.
I know, but we say it, but even though we say it, like deep down when the gun is put to your head to make a pick, we're still going to pick against them.
They're still second tier.
Yeah.
They're in Texans territory.
That's kind of what it feels like, yeah. Mine is pretty close to Joel, so I'll go ahead and use it here. But there's not a single team in the NFL that I will pick on a neutral field over the Detroit Lions.
Ooh. Okay.
Neutral field, line them all up, all 32 teams. There's not a single team in the NFL I'd pick over the Detroit Lions.
I don't hate it.
Yeah,
they're just, like Joel said earlier, I mean, they're the most complete team in the NFL. I obviously wish they had Aiden Hutchinson. That would make the take even stronger.
Sure.
But I still think they can beat any team in the NFL on a neutral field.
You think about the way they drafted, too, when they questioned when you took Gibbs as early as you did, and you got yourself a tight end as well. And then, you know, when you got Brian Branch and you got some of the guys they added on defense, and then they were savvy in the way they got Carlton Davis and free agent. You know, they made all the right moves to make this as complete of a team as they possibly could. And they're easily the best team in the NFC. But, yeah, I think the only two teams on a neutral field that I think it's worth a conversation are the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Okay.
Not the Bills? You wouldn't throw the Bills?
No, I don't. I don't believe that the Bills' defense is as good as they were a year ago. I think the Bills are good for now. I don't think they're going to be good for the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not a huge Josh Allen guy in the postseason. I think he's going to lose you a game whenever you're going up against he might win you a game in the playoffs, but I think he's also going to give you a game, and you can't do that in the postseason. Another one that I have, I'm sorry, the AFC West. This is an apology tour, I guess. I'm sorry to you, the AFC West. I thought you were a one team division. I thought it was Kansas City, and then the rest of the division was going to be below 500. I apologize to the other teams in the AFC West, not the Raiders, of course, but I apologize to the Chargers. I never thought you'd be 7-3 and in playoff contention. Denver, I never thought you would have a winning record and be in playoff contention. So I apologize to the AFC West. You're better than I thought.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Did you get three teams in?
Probably.
I apologize to B. Hannon because of his Chargers and the fact that I didn't think the Chargers were going to be anything this year, and they lost the majority of their skill position players in year one of Harbaugh. I didn't think it was going to go like this, and then you get Herbert like that, and all the things, and Quentin Johnson's catching footballs like that. That's impressive in itself. What Sean Payton's done, I haven't believed in anything he was going to do, and the way he's gone about his business. Bo Nix looks fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, aside from the Raiders, AFC West has got some talent.
Yeah, they're better than I thought. Better than I thought.
Green Bay, by the way, I'm not giving up on that. Green Bay may sneak into the playoffs. Green Bay is fool's gold. They are fool's gold. And if you watch, did you watch that game last weekend?
It doesn't matter.
They didn't deserve to even be. And Jordan Love keeps Jordan Loving. And you mentioned it too.
It's just math at this point, Joel.
We'll see.
Also, I don't love the word sneak. Like, you could ultimately be right that they missed the playoffs. But, like, they've been comfortably in the top seven in the NFC all year.
They're 7-3.
I don't like the word sneak.
They're going to fizzle. But they're going to they'll probably have enough.
Maybe hang on.
Because, like, yeah, they'll hang on, okay? Wrong adjective in your mind, but at the same time, right result. They're not going to be storming into the playoffs to make a statement. Some people's sexy pick to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're going to be a wild card, and I think they're going to be one and done.
They can go 3-4 and still make it down the stretch.
Yeah, there are two games clear of everybody else.
That's not sneaking
That's
in.
That's not sneaking. You can't be in the top seven all year and be sneaking in.
If you go 3-4 down the stretch, you sneak in.
You backed in. You didn't sneak
in.
No. Okay. You're
like
7-3.
Sneaking in is if, like, you're 4-7 and you, like, win four or, you know, whatever in a row at the end of the year. Like, if the Bengals make the playoffs, they
would
be sneaking in.
Yeah.
You can't be in the top seven all year long and be a playoff team all year long and then barely make it and be a sneak in. It's like backdooring it. Pause. You know, it's coming from behind and pushing across at the very end.
Again.
It's not in the playoffs all year, and then you kind of fizzled down the stretch. It's hanging on. All right, you got to duck out of here. You want to tell everybody where you're going?
One last time, going back to the 30th anniversary of the championship teams honoring the players and Rudy T tonight, and the Rockets invited me, so I accepted, and I'm looking forward to it.
My invitation must have been lost in the mail. Brian, did you get invited?
No, they don't even know I work the show, so.
All right, have fun, Blankers. We'll miss you for the final hour. We'll see you again tomorrow. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Blessing or stressing? Garrett Williams will be joining us next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Out of here. I want to tell you about Vanderford Air. I just sent one of my buddies to Vanderford Air yesterday. He texted me today. Vanderford Air took care of him every step of the way. He said it could not have been easier, better, and everything was backed up in writing. They guarantee it with 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That's the best calling card I can give you, because I always tell you to lock their number in your phone, because you never know when you're going to need them. But when you do, you need a company that's going to be there right away, that's going to do a great job, that's going to guarantee their work and put everything in writing. That's why I always tell you to add that number, 281-557-COOL. Put it in your phone right now. You never know when you're going to need it, but you never want your air conditioning or heating to go on the fritz, especially in Houston, Texas. They do so much more. They do plumbing, repiping, dehumidifying systems. But the main reason why you put them in your phone is because you need your AC, and sometimes you need your heat, and you need it to be fixed immediately if something goes wrong. 281-557-COOL. Check out their website, VanderfordAir.com. But make sure you get to them before something bad happens to you, because they're going to take care of you every step of the way. Put everything in writing to the part that they're going to replace, to a whole new system if you choose, and then they'll back it up from the work that their employees do, the parts and or services and or systems they put in, and the performance that everything has going forward. You're going to love them, because they're going to make sure that you're covered every step of the way. VanderfordAir.com, or lock that number in your phone, 281-557-COOL.
ESPN 97.5.